Hey everybody, and welcome to the talk Infrastructure at Arch, making servers go brrr, where we talk about the infrastructure at Arch and how to make servers go brrr. So our agenda for the day is I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, then I'm going to introduce the team to you. I'm going to give you an overview about our general infra stuff, what tools we use and so on. Then I'm going to delve into a past, kind of like some history lesson about our infra, where we come from. And then we're going to see where we currently stand. And then I'm going to basically give you some kind of roadmap that we have, current projects and near future and far future projects, and how we're going to try to tackle those. And then I'm going to show you how you can get involved in infra at Arch. So a little bit about me. I work, by daytime. Well, mostly anyway. I work as a freelance DevOps consultant and also a software architect, depends on the job. I'm involved in quite a few open source projects. I also do quite a bit of game dev. I do quite a bit of Rust. And I also like CLI tools very much. So if you check my GitHub, you're gonna see many of those. And I joined Arch in 2010 actually, as a trusted user. And I think I've been using Arch since, I think, 2007, not quite sure. I eventually became a developer, and now obviously DevOps. And not quite sure when I became a developer. At some point I took over KDE, and this is, I think, when I became officially developer. All right, enough about me. So the DevOps team, who are these people? So you might have seen some of those faces. We're not only DevOps. We all have packages. So there's Federalis, Fresra, who's a very recent joinee actually to the DevOps team. He's not entirely onboarded as of this moment currently. We're still working on that. There's Grasolini. There's Heftig, who maintains the Matrix server. There's Yella, there's Antrax, and there's me. And we all do different, like we all have different levels of involvement in this project. Some have their pet parts. We all try to kind of be able to do everybody else's job if need be. But mostly, I think it's fair to say that everybody has their own topics that they care about, like anything else in Arch. It's pretty much the same. The only thing that's a little bit different, I think, is that we have this DevOps team which has regular meetings, and I think this is not the case in any of the other Arch teams, at least that I'm aware. I think the security people might have something, not quite sure. All right, let's delve into the overview. So let's start with servers. Everybody likes servers. So Arch is mostly hosted at Hetzner. We have 6 Hetzner bare metal servers and 17 Hetzner cloud servers in total, so that's 23 machines. And then we also have 2 offsite backup servers for Borg. So we use Borg backup for all our backup needs. And on top of that, we have 5 sponsored servers by Cape. Thanks, guys. Shout out. I'm afraid we have yet to make use of them because we have very recently actually got them. So still the process of setting that up. As far as services go, we have quite a few of services, right? So we run, like, if you look at Arch, you might see, like the front page and the AUR, everybody knows of that. But also the wiki, of course. But, there's quite a few services, public services that we provide. And many of those services that we provide actually, they might be presented to you guys as like a coherent, like one software solution or something, like Arch Web. But actually there's many moving parts involved in any of these. So for instance, we run the archive. So you need this in order to use the Arch Linux, Wayback Machine essentially. And it also plays a role for reproducible builds. We have Seagit, which you might know as projects.archlinux.org. Currently trying to get rid of that. Very recently we've gotten a GitLab up and running, we have had it for some time, but we're trying to make better use of that as time goes on. Yeah, we have the wiki, which is a media wiki. Of course, we have a security tracker. You guys can get involved in security stuff, can post stuff there. We do have a patch tracker. It's a good old patchwork. Trying to get rid of that as well, actually. The packages that you might see as, you know, just the like the package certain area or like the mirroring infrastructure, that's actually just an rsync service which runs somewhere that everybody pushes the packages to, and then all the tier one mirrors sync from that. So it's like the packages thing that we have is essentially like the tier zero mirror. What else? Yeah, we have Frick. You might have seen him. Like it's a little bot. That we run to get IRC going, to have like IRC moderation, or to ease IRC moderation actually. We still use FlySpray as our primary bug tracker. I don't very much like that. I don't think anybody really likes that, but it's what we're currently stuck with. We are planning a migration, at least a partial migration, of some of our projects to GitLab, but we have yet to work out how our package bugs, which is the vast majority of bugs, are going to be migrated. So we're still working on that. And of course, we also have the account service SSO, but I'm going to talk a bit more about that one later in particular. And so we have also some staff-only services, actually. We have a build server that we offer our staff. So, you know, it is a pretty beefy machine. It's kind of last gen, but it's still pretty beefy. It has 24 cores, so 48 logical cores. It's also sponsored by Hetzner, so thanks, guys. And so our staff can use, or our packages at least, can use that server to build their stuff. We also have a Ken board, which we're also trying to, actually quite soon, we're trying to get rid of that one. It's essentially like a Kanban board. It's a free open source Kanban board. We're trying to get that one into GitLab, because GitLab has nice features for that. And so we're trying to get rid of some of our services, which are now super suited by GitLab. We obviously have some mail servers. I say mail servers because we have multiple mail servers. We're trying to kind of perhaps condense down our mail stack a little bit. Our mail stack has grown a little bit over the years, and trying to get that in order soon-ish. We have very recently we've gotten a monitoring stack that Yella has been working on. So we used to use Zabbix. And Zabbix is kind of old, you know, fashion, and so we're trying to switch to Grafana Prometheus Alert Manager, which is working quite well so far. We have pretty nice dashboards. If we have some time at the end, I might be able to show you guys some of that. And then we have a Matrix that I already said that Teftic maintains, and we have a Quassel. And I'm not sure who maintains that, to be honest. Anyway, so overview about code. So we try to follow infrastructure as code where possible. So that means if you make a change, and like if you want to make a change in any of the servers, you should may have a corresponding code change somewhere. So for instance, we use Terraform where we can and Ansible where we must. So that means Terraform is a tool that allows you to write declaratively specify some infrastructure elements. And the nice thing about Terraform as opposed to Ansible is that it actually does take care of cleaning up things after you remove them, or that it actually tries to make sure that the status that you give it is actually the status that's expected in the end. And Ansible in some cases has a really hard time doing that. So, but yeah, we still have to use Ansible in many cases. So for instance, this is what it looks like. So we have 8,000 lines of YAML, delicious YAML. Which is pretty much all of it that's Ansible, and we have 2,000 lines of HDL. So for instance, in HDL or in Terraform, we specify our Hetzner vCloud servers, Hetzner cloud servers, whatever. We specify all of our domains, our IPs, all of that. We specify all of our keycloak things. Yeah, all of that. Some minor services as well. And Ansible, we have like the vast majority of everything. So we have 63 Ansible roles. That's quite a bit. That's everything essentially. It's like email stuff. That's all the services that you see that I talked about earlier, except for Keycloak, is in there. So everything is in there. It's quite vast. You can take a look at that if you like. And I think as time goes on, we're going to see more of those things move to Terraform, maybe, perhaps, depends. But we're actually pretty happy with Ansible. It's not a bad tool. It's just, you know, YAML gets tedious sometimes. And, you know, when you work with YAML mostly, like every day, you kind of want to see something else, but, you know, that's what we're stuck with, I guess. Anyway, so the past. Let's continue. So dark times lay in our past. Gotta imagine, like, when I talk about the past, basically speaking of Arch, when it was like first made till about 4 years ago. So that's the past. That's the dark times. And basically everything was mainly managed. So that there wasn't like no centralized server management whatsoever, right? Basically there were just a bunch of servers, in some cases quite more or less literally in somebody, you know, else's bedroom. And all the, like, the DevOps, that wasn't really like the term DevOps, there was not like an Arch DevOps team. There really was nothing like that. It was more or less just, there were some like people that managed some servers, they had some scripts, they knew how to do it. There were no docs. We essentially had a best factor of one for every single server. So if you're not familiar with this term, basically it means, you know, if there's one person that knows how to do something and they get hit by a bus, now we have zero people that know about how to do something. And so that's a bus factor of one. And it was really hard for outsiders to collaborate. Essentially, it was actually impossible, to be honest. Well, because there was no way, right? There was no code. We couldn't just give SSH access out to outsiders. So there really wasn't any way outsiders could possibly collaborate with us. And there was no DevOps team. So as I said before, there's like only like a loose collection of people, different accesses to different servers. And there was no centralized issue management, so that if somebody like had a problem with mirrors or something, and somebody other that managed Arch Web or some other service had to be kind of aware of that, then there wasn't really any nicely defined way to share that. And there really wasn't any automations that were in place outside of cron. So we did have quite a fair bit of cron doing work, so automated bash scripts essentially, but really there wasn't anything that automated things between servers. So yeah, that was a pretty dark time. So, but then eventually we approached the road to enlightenment. And that meant we started using Ansible. So the first Ansible commit was made in May 2016. This is essentially also the, like, how far our infrastructure repo goes back. And since then we've had a pretty recent, a pretty steady stream of migrations towards Ansible. And we've also started using Terraform in February 2019. And I think we originally started using that for specifying V servers for Hetzner, I think. We started documenting things. Documenting stuff is important. And we started the DevOps team, which didn't exist before. Well, and that brings us to the present. And well, now we do have a DevOps team with consistent access to all services and servers that we have. And most things that we have are now in Ansible and Terraform. So that's something I'm really happy with. There's some stragglers here and there. For instance, like mail aliases are still managed manually. You're not going to find those in Ansible. I'm pretty unhappy about that because, you know, if somebody made a mistake there, then that would be pretty horrible for Arch emails and also pretty much a security problem, but we're gonna get there on baby steps. Most things that we have are now documented, or well, most important things anyhow. So we used to not document any kinds of procedures or processes like onboarding, offboarding, stuff like that. It was kind of just like in the moment, like if somebody could remember to do something, they do it, and otherwise they wouldn't really have a checklist. So we started using checklists quite a bit for that kind of purpose. Like in the end, I would prefer to be automating that, but you know, in the meantime, I think it's okay to just kind of have a checklist. It's better certainly than having nothing at all. And we did start a migration. I think that's what I said earlier. Like in February 2019, I think we started the migration from bare metal service to cloud service. And so that has a few reasons. First of all, we like compartmentalization, but that means that we want to have one cloud server that does basically host one service, and it allows us to, in the end, be pretty cheap about specific servers and services. And we also had this effect on bare metal servers where we had side effects, where basically one service that existed on the server would be influencing another service. So this is obviously broken compartmentalization, but it was just done that way because it was easy and simple and it was kind of like a hack. And we don't really like hacks anymore, so we did this migration, or we're currently like in the middle of this migration. And yeah, that's still going on. We're still sorting out some servers, but in the end, I think we're going to have a cheaper, more secure, and I hope faster and much better documented, general infra after we finish this migration to cloud servers. We're not going to get rid of them, like going to get rid of bare metal servers entirely, because we still need hardware features for some things. And obviously like the build box would be much cheaper as a bare metal server. But from the vast majority of services, I think the cloud servers from Hetzner are basically the best alternative that we have. And then lastly, we also have automations and CI, which we used to not have at all, right? We had no CI in any other of our patches or merge requests or anything. I think we had some very sparse population of CI files on GitHub at the time. I think we used Travis for some services. But now with GitLab, we can offer all projects one consistent and well-known CI that's also trusted. So that's also another important thing, that we can now do trusted deployments from our own CI, because we have our own runners, and that's a big step forward. This is still kind of like mostly a work in progress, but I think it's one of the most important features, because Arch being mostly volunteer, or pretty much all volunteer driven, means that any time that we as a team do not spend human resources on any of our, computer tasks that computers are much better doing, like automated stuff, like building stuff, deploying things, CI stuff, making sure that unit tests are run and stuff like that. I think all of that time could be much better spent on actually working on real problems in the distro, and it would be much less exhausting for everybody that had to do those tedious tasks. And also it will ensure that we just have a much better foundation for merge requests, and we make sure that all of those tests are being run, and that'll make sure things are more stable for our software that we actually develop. So one important thing that I talked about that we didn't have before, I think that's really probably like the centerpiece of our DevOps revolution in Arch, GitLab. And so we received an ultimate license from GitLab.com, I think, who offer ultimate licenses to all open source projects that can demonstrate that they're open source. So now we have GitLab, so yoo-hoo! And that was a pretty big step. So that should be our central repository for code hosting issues, collaboration. As I said before, we earlier weren't really that easy to collaborate with, which is obviously not great for a project that really requires volunteers to have fun doing what they are doing, because there's no other incentive. So we're trying to make this a bit less, make it a bit more seamless and more fun for everybody. And you used to have to send Arch patches for many projects on mailing lists, like it's 1980, and now we actually, I think we arrived quite confidently in the 2010s at least. Now we have merge requests, so hooray. And as I said earlier, we can also hopefully get rid of patchwork, fly spread, canboard at the least. Maybe more, I don't know. But for now, these services are slated to be mostly or completely removed in favor of GitLab. We have an overview of all our issues. And I can actually show you that. So this is an overview that we have of all our currently migrated projects. We haven't finished the GitLab migration, obviously, but if you look at this, this is essentially like the Arch group in GitLab and allows you to look at all the issues. We have quite a few issues, but keep in mind, many are still in FireSpray. There's no package issues here at all. So basically, in Arch, you always like, it's not just a distribution that has packages, right? Obviously, we mostly have packages and we mostly have package bugs, but we also have many software projects of our own, like Arch ISO, you might know, Arch Boxes for the VMs, Arch Linux Docker, the infra project itself, and many other projects that we have. And so these are all listed here. You can actually, if you want to, you can actually filter by a label, for instance, and see whether the label is good for this issue. So some projects tried using or are gonna use, or are you currently using this tag, which is a global tag. And then you can see which projects currently are by the reporters considered to be good first issues. So something how you could potentially get involved. And as I said before, we have a powerful CI for everything now. And that's also actually available to our users. We hope it doesn't get abused too bad. But if it does, we gotta, you know, come up with something. We set some sensible defaults, but guys, please don't abuse our CI. We only have this one. I'm pretty happy that we do have it at all. Next topic that you might be wondering about is Arch Linux SSO. So we have Arch Linux single sign-on. It's just a fancy way of saying that you have one account that's shared among all the services that we have, and also one login that you have. So that's shared. So if you log into one service, you should be logged into everything. And that allows us to, so, you know, you used to have like accounts for like Wiki, Bux, so FlySpray, AUR, possibly Security Tracker. Maybe if you were a tester, you had an Arch web account to sign off packages. So there were many accounts, and internally, obviously we have some more. And so this just became really, really hard to manage. So imagine somebody gets onboarded, offboarded, and for users was just plain annoying, you know, having to manage multiple accounts, multiple identities, and what for, right? And we also have the forums, and it would be really nice to just have like one persistent set or one persistent account that would just follow you around everywhere. And it would also mean that we have one central place to manage accounts and also to manage access levels. So for instance, on our SSO currently, we force two-factor auth for all users, which we think is really the way forward. And to ensure that no accounts are taken away, we realized that this is maybe inconvenient for some users, but we decided that is probably the best way forward to ensure that, users wouldn't, you know, wouldn't suffer from reused passwords quite as badly as if they didn't have a two-factor auth. And also considering our users are mostly pretty technical, I think it's fair to say that this is a reasonable choice to make. So already we have one account for everything, two-factor everywhere. And this is actually realized using the software Keycloak by Red Hat, which is, well, it's a type of IAM, which is identity and access management, and it's just some piece of Java software that we use, which seems to be the best compromises. Seems to offer the best compromise out of all the various software that does pretty much this thing out of there. We also considered LDAP and you know all of its implementations for a bit, but LDAP really is more geared towards like systems logins and not so much towards web software logins. So you can use LDAP with web software, but Keylog, which uses OIDC, so OpenID Connect and SAML, seems to give us more, access control and seems to be better geared for the web. So this is what we rolled with. And also we talked to the KDE people that did the migration to their LDAP back then, and they said they were pretty unhappy with LDAP and they're changing away from that. So that's another thing. What's the looker like? What's the roadmap like? Well, I said we had some migrations that we're still doing, and we're still in the midst of that. And since I just talked about SSO, obviously one very hard topic is to get all the accounts merged somehow, because we don't really want users to lose their access to any of their accounts. Currently, we have SSO enabled only for internal, for staff accounts. And for users, we're going to have to get creative. We're going to have to make sure that we can really proof access, so that the users can really proof access, for instance, for the like forums account or wiki account or whatever, before merging that into their one SSO account. This is going to be a topic that we're going to be busy with for quite a long time, I believe. And then only then can we actually connect those accounts as those services to the SSO. So currently it's mostly an internal tool, but it will certainly at some point become a more generally available tool, especially for GitLab. We're going to open up GitLab at some point, and then pretty soon, actually, I hope. We prepared most of everything for GitLab to be generally available. And then hopefully we can give everybody access to that. We are also migrating from Mailman 2 to Mailman 3, which is a bit of an annoying migration, but it has to be done because Mailman 3 is actually modern and supported, and Mailman 2 isn't. So that if you guys don't know, this is our mail server list software that we have. And we need to automate more things. As I said before, I think any time that is spent doing things that the computer can do better is probably time spent that we should be automating it instead. And then the computer can do all things. Like the problem about automation, like the only central problem is security. Because if you give a computer access to do things and you fuck up, then you might be accidentally deleting all of Arch Linux. This would be quite regrettable, I think. I hope everyone agrees. And so we gotta make sure that, or if somebody hacks the box or whatever, then we wouldn't wanna risk that. So this is something we have to look into. And eventually we should get rid of most of our bare metal servers. So we want to finish the migration to BeaHost or VPSs or whatever, and then we can get rid of the hardware servers, which will also alleviate some of our pains as far as hard drive changes, for instance, go, or upgrading or something like that. So that's going to be much easier. So next part is known issues of our future endeavors, or things that we know are problematic in our current future up ahead, is that, for instance, our forum software, FluxBB, is essentially unmaintained, and that, it's PHP software, so it's kind of like double bad. So you don't want to have unmaintained PHP software under any circumstances, but the problem is that this is currently our reality. So we're really trying to get something else there instead. I don't know. We have no SSH audit logs. So essentially that means, or like if anybody of our DevOps currently logged into any server, they can essentially do anything they want without being watched. And also anybody can use Ansible roles at any time. And we would prefer if we had some kind of paper trail for that. So this is kind of hard. We do trust our DevOps. So this is not about trust so much. It's more about being able to know when somebody did something for general auditing, so that if something fails, you can see who did what, and then maybe gather some information about the nature of the failure. And as I said before, our current main setup really needs innovation, frankly. It's kind of from the very old days. Hasn't really changed much. It's gonna change for sure when we connected to SSO to Keycloak. That is also still up. It's a known issue. I don't really have any remedy for that. We basically just gotta check it out and see what's good. We need better GDPR compliance automation. We currently have, we try to do our best to be GDPR compliant where we can, But I think this is done mostly manually, and every team basically manages by themselves. So wiki people and forums people have the different ways of dealing with this. And it would be really nice to have some more general solution. This also plays in there with the SSO thing. So if somebody has complete control over their account from one central place, this would be easier for us to do. But it's certainly a hard problem that has no quick fix. So for the time being, I think we're stuck doing this manually. Yeah, so finally, the call for action. So get involved. Arch is 100% volunteer driven. And everything we do is public. I might have shown you this before, but everything we do is public. So this is our infra repo. If you go to this link, you're going to see this this stuff popping up. And I'm happy to report that actually we've had a recent influx of active collaborators. So that's really, really something nice, especially in the DevOps thing where, you know, things are sometimes complicated and kind of annoying. I'm really happy about having some collaborators join. But we always need more people helping out. So make sure that you join Arch Linux DevOps in Freenode IRC and just ask to help out. There's usually somebody around from us if we're not all sleeping at the same time, which rarely happens, I grant you that. And just ask for help and or ask for an issue or something, or maybe pick an issue, right? You can join the mailing list. It's not super active because we're mostly inactive on IRC. But the really important things are posted to the mailing list. And yeah, get involved. We are a super friendly bunch. Breaking servers is great fun, especially, you know, if it's 4 a.m. and you really have to get up at like 9. Amazing. Get involved. Break some servers with us. We only have so many arms and legs. Just, you know, grab an issue, make a PR, make sure something breaks. We'll deploy it. No questions asked. But seriously, you don't have to be a super expert to be of any help to us, right? You can, basically, most part of DevOps is just learning on the job. I mean, just look at the DevOps culture currently. Like, there's one new Silicon Valley startup tool coming out like every week, every day, maybe, I don't know. Some new amazing YAML-based technology. You can't possibly be an expert in all of these things. Basically, just, you know, get involved, pick something that you it sounds interesting to you and just kind of try to tackle it. We're all learning on the job. Basically, just try your best, I suppose. It really doesn't matter that much. We're all here to help. We all make mistakes. Basically, just try it. Thanks, guys, for listening this far. If you've made it, here's some links that I've also shown in the presentation. And also my personal page if you're interested in that. But apart from that, thanks for listening. Get involved, and see you in IRC. Hey
there. Hey, Sven.
Hello.
Let's have a look at some questions. Nice talk there.
Sure, thanks.
Nice wrap up of all the infrastructure we're running. I've split up the questions a bit in servers and services. So maybe let's have a look at the servers first. One of the prominent questions was basically by a lot of people, is the Arch infrastructure actually running on Arch?
Yes, I'm happy to report that all of our critical and also non-critical servers are running almost entirely on Arch. I say almost because we also use Docker sometimes, and we sometimes use non-Arch Docker images, and we run some minor services on other distributions for testing, in fact.
All right, cool. How are server maintenance handled, basically updates, etc.? That's a question by Makilanu.
Right, so I'm going to take this question as it meaning that how do we get notified about updates and then how do we perform those updates? So we get notified by Prometheus. Yella built a Prometheus exporter that allows us to see which servers have how many pending updates, and then if that is like too many, then we update, and we currently perform the updates manually because you know, we got to make sure that things happen nicely, and we don't do any automated updates currently.
All right, fair enough. Same person, Maklanu, asked if there are any pros or cons of bare metal servers that you're currently seeing or facing, basically, in this infrastructure.
Sure. So the pros are they are a better bang for the buck. They have greater performance. Cons are they are harder to manage. If you fuck up, you have to well, basically reboot the same thing, and then it's kind of annoying to mess around with that. And they're harder to provision because you can't just upload a cloud image, at least in Headset you can't, and in VPSs you can. So, and they're also, of course, kind of hardened to put into little provisions. So this is also why we want to use VPSs in the future.
Yeah, makes sense, I guess. I guess following up on that, there's a question by Ebal in regards to VMs and their provisioning. More or less, I can read the question for you. I'm guessing you're using VMs or VPS instead of dedicated boxes, which we are to some extent. So are you using Packer to build immutable images based on Arch Linux? So when you upgrade these images every week, every month, or is there like a CI/CD automation for that?
Right. So we don't have any immutable infrastructure currently, but we use Packer, and we use Packer to provision the VPSs. And the VPSs are pretty long lived. So we treat them as if they were normal dedicated boxes, and so we maintain them and update them just the same. But we initially provision them using a Packer image that we update ad hoc once we need a new machine.
Yeah, so in the vein of Arches, install once, always update. There's a question by ArchGuest on how do you handle security of the servers in regards to hardening, managing roles and accounts, etc.
Sorry. Can you read that again, please?
Yeah. How do you handle security of the servers? This is in regards to hardening and managing roles.
Ah,
and
I see.
Accounts.
So secrets, yeah. Yes. Sure. So we use Ansible Vault for all of that. And basically all of our stuff is in Ansible Vault, and it's all in the repository.
All right, cool. Do we currently do disk encryption on any of the bare metal machines?
No, or the but we VMs? Should. We are currently trying to set this up. Giancarlo has something in the pipe for that, but it's really actually really hard to really get this right. And
yeah,
well, we're working on this. It's something we're looking into, but it's really, really hard to get right, especially because we don't have any machine access directly.
Yeah. I have an Ansible setup for that if you're interested, but I'm not sure if it works. And
yeah, it's kind of a problem though, isn't it?
It works for my use case currently, yeah. So right. I know. I guess one of the more interesting questions also in regards to hardware and maintenance and so on is what made you choose Hetzner to host your services rather than another cloud provider? That's by Dr. Hashimoto.
Right, because, well, back in the day when we started doing all of this, there wasn't that many alternatives, really. And Hetzner really was the cheapest by far. And we've just kind of grown, you know, happy with them, frankly. They provide good services. There's really no reason for us to change.
Yeah, cool. I guess the Ansible Vault question was already answered. There was a specific question by Peter Strudel in regards to the secrets and so on that's handled by Ansible Vault. I guess that also leads me to a question that is kind of interesting in general for all of this type of infrastructure question. What is the bus factor currently for managing the infrastructure that Arch maintains?
So technically speaking, all of the people that were in the list that I had in the other slide, I think 7 or 8 or so, they should all have access to all of the servers. So if something breaks, we have at least have those people to be able to manage it. Now, of course, there's also the question of knowledge transfer. So not everybody knows how to fix everything. And many services, we still are at the bus factor of 1, but it's much better than it was before. So still 1 in many cases, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
That sounds good. Let's hop on to the services. There was a question by Lurst. That's the same person who also asked about the bus factor, actually. If we use Docker containers for anything.
We do. So we use Docker containers everywhere in GitLab CI. In fact, we even built Arch Linux VMs since very recently. We built the VMs inside of Docker images using Chemo. So this is pretty freaky. But yeah, so we use Docker quite a lot. I don't think we use Docker in any production deployments currently, and probably it's not going to change because we don't really have any reason to change this currently. But yeah, it's going to be CI mostly, and of course we use Docker to build Docker images. So the official Docker images are built inside of Docker images.
Docker, the Docker. I guess something that I also have to look into in the future to fix my stuff with ArchISO. There's a question that is probably more tailored towards whether dashboards are actually available publicly, if I understand this correctly. That was asked by KGZ. If there are Grafana dashboards in a repo somewhere.
Oh, and, yeah.
We have a link for that, actually.
So all of our infra, or at least, you know, that's the kind of the idea that everything we do is infrastructure as code. And so we also provision 100% of the Grafana dashboards that we have as code. And so they are available in the repository. You can look them up. You can set them up yourselves. And we hope that in the future, we are even able to expose some non-critical stats to others. So that is something we're looking into currently.
Yeah, good stuff. Then we have a question that is more, or a set of questions actually, that tailored around the entire SSO topic. Will there be already created forum and accounts and so on get merged when we roll out SSO?
Well, not when we roll out it. I mean, we've basically rolled it out. There's going to be many steps, and I think this whole process is going to take probably years, frankly. We want to get it right, and it's really hard for us to make sure that users can really demonstrate that they own an account, and we certainly don't want to like err on the side of trusting too much where it's not like where it's undue. So we got to make sure that for all of the services, we can find some mechanism where the users can really guarantee that they are that they own this account, and only then we will be able to merge. So for the like for the time being and for some time to come, users are going to have separate accounts. I'm sorry for that, but at least, you know, going forward, we're going to have you know, at some point, SSO for everything.
Yeah. Makes sense, I guess. Gotta make sure. Are we thinking of switching the forum over to Discourse? That was a question by Bitin.
Not Discourse in particular. We put up this to the forums people, and we had them try to kind of decide which forum might carry us into the next decade or something. And of course, like Discourse was one of the choices, and for various reasons, some people didn't like that. And we don't really want to make the we don't really want to call the shots on that, because, you know, it's a community decision afterwards, after all, and people gotta want to manage and like those forums and use them. So we don't want to make that shot for them. But we have to, like, I wear my security and maintainability goggles, and everybody else like has to also like it. So there's no decision currently. Discourse is one of the choices. It's currently not the primary choice, but there's many factors that come into this.
To switch back on a bit of server-related topics, we have mentioned that Ansible Vault is in use for secret storage and so on. There's a question by Nightfoxer about whether we want to exchange the current secret storage with, for instance, something like HashiCorp's Vault, given that we're using Terraform
more. Sure. We thought about it. It's currently not a priority at all. Maybe. I don't know. It's certainly very much in the backlog.
Okay. Also, a question by KGZ in regards to our Prometheus setup. If we are in need of any... well, exporters being written for any of our services still.
Yes.
Seems someone's offering here.
Yes, and we have plenty of projects that we operate, and I think pretty much none of them have real, you know, business debts exporters for them. So like everything that we have, all of the custom software that we need have still needs exporters. We only have some operational exporters, but we really could use some more in-depth software specific exporters.
Yeah, nice. So, KGZ, if you're hearing this, get in touch. Write some exporters, please. We have a few more questions around the encryption of our cloud servers. I think you mentioned earlier that none of them are actually encrypted
time. Yeah,
right.
Nothing.
Okay. So that answers that question as well. Do we, apart from the Docker containers, use any LXC containers, for instance? There's a question by Keto.
Any LXD containers?
LXC, yeah, or LXD.
LXC, yeah, is... no, we don't. Nope.
Okay. Yeah. We are Moving to GitLab currently, most of our internal projects and so on. And the question by Orhun is if GitHub is used for anything regarding to DevOps, or if it's just our SVN to Git mirror basically for packages and other things.
Right. So currently, it's only basically the mirror for all of our repositories. So we mirror everything, or the general idea is to mirror everything from GitLab to GitHub and not allow any contributions on GitHub. This might change depending on feedback, but currently this is the way we use GitHub. So basically, it's kind of like an outlet for just giving users maybe a bit more kind of like view into the distribution. But we currently don't have any kind of participation plan for using GitHub. And I think that is about all the time we have, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. We got to wrap up. I'm sorry if there were questions left unanswered. You can still hook us up on the IRC channel or shoot a mail if you want to know more.
Yeah, I'll certainly be around for any other infra-related questions or stuff like that.
All right.